Chapter 9. The Pizza Surprise. On a normal Saturday night, they'd grab a takeaway and go to the pub. But there was nothing normal about today, and to hell with it, Rose thought. If Mickey's paying, then he can treat me for once. So they went to Tony Joe's Pizzeria. Waiters, starters, tablecloths. Nice. But it didn't make Rose feel any better. Her hunt for the doctor had only led to a sad man's shed. And now, without the quest, she was left looking at her life, what little there was of it. I could try the hospital, she said, picking at some deep-fried something that tasted only of heat. Suki said they've got jobs in the canteen. That's just about my level, dishing out chips. But even those jobs are going to vanish. The entire staff of Henrik's are out there, snapping them up. What chance have I got? That was Mickey's cue, to tell her she was bright, brilliant, amazing, the best. What was wrong with him? He was just staring at her, his grin a little bit too fixed. He'd been doing this routine ever since Duke Street, and it was beginning to get on her nerves, like that time he'd spent an entire day being the farce show. All right, Mickey, a joke's a joke. What is a joke? He said, in that new bright voice he'd discovered. She said, don't you even care? What am I going to do with my life? She ate a bit more. Maybe it was a prawn. She'd ordered without thinking. I could go back and do my A-levels. What do you think? Mickey just smiled. He hadn't touched his soup. She decided to provoke him. It's all Jimmy Stone's fault. Mention of Jimmy Stone always made Mickey angry. But not tonight. He just kept staring and smiling. She went further, feeling a bit sly and mean. If it wasn't for Jimmy Stone, I'd have stayed at school. It was his fault. All that stubble, luring me away. But I couldn't help it. He did look good in those jeans. This was weird. Mickey should be fuming by now, but he didn't even blink. And that shine on his skin was so strange. Maybe he had a temperature. Mickey, are you feeling all right? He said,
I'm fine, baby, babes, sugar babe, baby face, baby cakes, baby boomer, baby boombastic, boom, boom, banger, boom.
No, really, stop it. What's wrong with you? He lost the smile, sat forward and said,
the doctor.
She froze. Who told you about him?
I know all about the doctor.
She felt that old horror, like the awful day she'd had to tell him about Jimmy Stone. But now, today, how? Had Jackie phoned him up and told him that she'd caught her rolling on the floor with a stranger? My bloody mother! But Rose had done nothing wrong. She rallied, anger taking over. I didn't tell you about the doctor because I've got very good reasons, okay? And I'm not sitting here letting you get angry with me. That is not on the menu, so you can stop it right now.
But I need to know,
said Mickey, leaning further forward, staring eyes wide.
I need to know about the doctor, where he is, who he is, what his plan is. And the only person who can tell me is you.
He thrust his head forward to emphasize the last word, and his eye fell out. His left eye. His left eye fell out and plopped into his soup. His left eye was now bobbing in the soup, staring at her. She looked up, expecting an awful gaping blooded mess in Mickey's face, but she saw the skin around his eye socket closing up neatly, flesh flowing like liquid to seal off the hole. No wound, no scar, just a smooth scoop where the eye had once been.
I apologize,
said Mickey.
This replica was manufactured in haste. Normally the consciousness would have immaculate standards of duplication.
He plucked the eyeball out of the soup, licked it clean, and popped it back into place, the skin parting to allow the eyeball in. Mickey's left eye glistened with a teardrop of tomato soup. Rose looked at his face. The shine, the teeth, too white, his hair, every perfect root. His eyebrows, not a single strand out of place. Everything glossy and far too perfect. Plastic. It was a plastic Mickey.
Now tell me,
he said, and his voice wasn't funny anymore.
I want to know everything about the doctor, or I will kill them.
Who?
The people, the diners, the humans.
She looked around, a couple at the next table laughing. Nearby, a family, two kids. Next to them, two women on a date. Behind her, a gang of schoolmates on a night out. All in danger, because of her. She'd brought this terrible thing into the room and sat him down in the middle of them all. She felt a raw terror like never before because other people were in danger now, not just her, and this monstrosity was in the shape of her boyfriend. Mickey, the real Mickey, where was he? "Excuse me," said a waiter, sidling up to the table. "Your champagne." He hovered at Mickey's side, offering the bottle. Mickey kept staring at Rose. "We didn't order champagne."
"Madam, your champagne," said the waiter, stepping closer to Rose.
She didn't even look up, keeping her eyes on Mickey, terrified of him making a move. She muttered to the waiter, "Don't say anything, just get away from the table, it's not safe." But the waiter huffed, annoyed. "Doesn't anybody want this champagne?" Mickey glared and looked up.
"We didn't order..."
Then he stopped and smiled. Rose looked up. It was the doctor. The waiter was the doctor, holding a champagne bottle, a tea cloth over his arm as his only concession to disguise.
"At last," said Mickey.
"Hello." The doctor shook the bottle hard. "Don't mind me, I'm just toasting the happy couple. On the house." He aimed the bottle and pop. The cork flew into Mickey's face, literally into it, hitting the nose, but not stopping as the skin swamped in to close over the site of impact, swallowing the cork into Mickey's head. His entire skull wobbled, rippled, settled. Mickey gulped. Then he opened his mouth, impossibly wide, and spat the cork out. He grinned at the doctor like a man accepting a duel. Rose was aware that she was just sitting there like a plum, but now she moved fast, staggering back as Mickey lifted up both arms and the entire table went flying. Everyone in the pizzeria turning to look as his hands expanded. They morphed into giant blades. His hands became broad, flat, plastic, skin-coloured blades, twice the size of a shovel. Mickey took a swing at the doctor. The blades looked sharp, like they could slice a man in two, but the doctor dodged the swing and leapt forwards. He put Mickey in a headlock and tugged and tugged and tugged. Snap! Mickey's head came off. The man at the next table screamed and fainted. Everyone was watching now, astonished. Rose staring in horror at Mickey's head in the doctor's hands. The body stayed standing, the neck ending in a flat, smooth oval like a decapitated mannequin. But then the separated head grinned up at the doctor. It was still alive. The head said, "Don't think that's gonna stop me." And then it whistled to its own body. "Over here!" The headless body jolted into action, its shovel blade hand swinging wildly, chopping a chunk of plaster out of a pillar. Rose looked at the doctor and he was grinning, like this was some sort of fun. She ran to the fire alarm, smashed the glass, part of her thinking, "I've always wanted to do this." And she yelled, "Out! Get out! Everyone out!" The alarm whooped and people ran screaming, customers and staff alike. But the headless Mickey body seemed to hear Rose, swung in the direction of her voice, lashing out. She leapt back, just in time. "Over here!" called the doctor, and he started to run. Was he yelling at her or the Mickey thing? Whichever, she ran after him. She wasn't going to let him out of her sight. Behind her, the decapitated plastic Mickey swung and chopped, tables splintering into pieces, crockery flying, glasses smashing, as it staggered blindly after them. The doctor and Rose ran into the kitchen. Waiters and cooks were standing around, wondering if the fire alarm was just a test, when the doctor burst in, holding a living head. The head barked at them like a rabid dog. Rose followed, still yelling, "Get out, all of you, out!" But the staff only jolted into action when the crazy, clumsy, violent, headless thing battered its way into the kitchen, swinging, chopping, staggering, sending pots and pans flying as it blundered in pursuit. The doctor and Rose ran down a corridor. He grinned at her and said, "Nice to see you, by the way. How's your mum?" And they pushed their way out of a fire door. They ran into a small gated yard, yellow security lights glaring against the night, the walls lined with bins and stacked with pallets and crates, and there, standing in the middle of the yard, the blue box. That old, battered, chunky hut that the doctor seemed to take everywhere with him. No use to them now. Rose spun around to see the doctor holding Mickey's head in the crook of his left arm, his foot jamming the fire door shut, whirring that metal stick to lock the push bar. Wham! The fire door shook, but held. On the other side, headless Mickey clattered and stamped like a trapped bull. Mickey's head called out, Come and get me. Then it glared with fury as the doctor clamped his left hand over its mouth to shut it up. Rose watched, horrified, as bang, 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 the fire door began to buckle. Those chopper blade hands would slice through in seconds. She remembered how the doctor had stopped the plastic arm back in the flat. Can't your wearing things stop him? He held up the metal stick. Sonic screwdriver, he said proudly. But I've used it once. The plastic's recalibrated. Won't work twice. Great. She ran to the yard's heavy double gates. They were padlocked and chained with bolts, studded into the floor. She pulled up the bolts, pushed at the gates. They gave, but only slightly, not enough to open. Give me a hand, she yelled at the doctor. No, we're fine, he said. Why was he so calm? He was standing in the middle of the yard, holding a screwdriver and a decapitated head, happy as can be, watching the fire door with that stupid smile. Crack! One of Headless Mickey's blades sliced through. Rose yelled at the doctor, open the gate! She grabbed hold of the padlock. Use your screwdriver! Nah, said the doctor, and he sauntered happily towards the blue box. Tell you what, let's go in here. He pushed open one of the panelled doors. It creaked, it was so rickety, and stepped inside, slamming the door shut behind him, as if that would protect him. Like a child thinking he can hide by holding his hand in front of his face. Crack! The second blade hand sliced through. Rose looked around, terrified. The walls were too high with barbed wire at the top. Rip! A big chunk of fire door went flying, and Headless Mickey could be seen through the gap, blundering and thrashing about. Doctor! She shouted. You can't hide inside a wooden box! That stupid hut was so flimsy, the shovel hands would chop it into matchsticks. Doctor! What was he doing, just standing in that tiny little space like an idiot? Police. Telephone, said a panel on the door. Pull to open. Too late now. She only had seconds to spare. Chop, chop, chop. The fire door was almost gone, and now she was furious. If she was going to die right here and now, at the age of 19, in a dirty yard behind a cheap pizzeria, she was going to give the doctor a good punch first. So she ran into the box. End of disc 2.